Hello everybody and welcome to our webinar. I see that we have 7 attendees so far and we usually get a little more as we're going. So Astrid, can I have the protocol slide? Third one. Astrid is doing our slide flipping for us. She's got both my slides and Leonie's. All right, most of you have been with us before, so you should be familiar with this. There's two ways that you can mute your microphone. We actually have you on mute right now, so unless we unmute you, you can't do anything with it. But if you ask a question, if you raise your hand and ask a question, as soon as you're finished talking, please put yourself back on self-mute. That way it minimizes the background noise that we see. Okay, and if you're having problems with echoes, I'd like you to please mute yourself first and see if that helps the problem. If it doesn't, then please use the chat box to alert us to a problem. Okay, next slide please, Astrid. You can see the little arrow there to raise your hand. If it's a green arrow pointing up, it means your hand is down and you have the opportunity to put it up. If you've raised it and it turns red and points down, it means it's up for you and you have the opportunity to turn it down. We'll watch for hands. If you have a question, let us know and then we can unmute you and you can ask your question. It may not be immediately. It may take me a minute or two to see the hand or to find a break in something Leonie is saying, but we will get to you. Next slide, please, Astrid. You also have the opportunity to enter a question to us. There's a little block down below the list of attendees that says questions. If you don't see the block where you would type in the questions, then you probably have a little plus sign up there by the word questions. You just press the plus sign and it will drop, it will open the box up for you. So that's how you raise your hand, that's how you put yourself on self-mute, and that's how you ask us any questions that you might want to using the chat box. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Leonie for her presentation.
Well, good morning everyone from Australia, and it's really lovely to be with you again and to close this first series of the RAISE and on the very important topic of formulating the RAI chart, because that is what it is all about. Next slide, thanks Astrid. And so just to recap, as we know, the RAIS, seven RAIS are the seven basic energies of the universe, and they stream out through the whole universe, and everything, every form, everything is colored by one or other a combination of these RAIS. And so in our psychology, they make us what we are. And so we have our bodies are on each ray, and on the chart there in front of you, I've listed them, the important ones for us. Starting from our outermost ray, we have our physical etheric ray, and it's either ray 3 or 7, and it's our physical etheric body type, how we move the body, the daily routines and habits that we most like. It also governs our physical etheric brain. And so the brain is the processor of the mind. So we might have our mind on another ray, in fact all of us probably will, and it's processed through the brain and the physical etheric body, which might modify it, will modify it depending upon what a particular ray is. So that's the first ray, and usually I like to start a class by identifying that ray because it's easier to find. Then the second ray, the more subtle ray, is the emotional ray, but it's usually very, very easy to find because there are two primary emotional ray type groups and they're very, very different. And in humanity today, we're so into expressing our emotions that usually a person's emotional body is easy to see. Though what we're looking for when I say see is we're looking for certain energy demonstrations. And then the mind ray. We have three rays that minds are normally on, rays one, four, or five. And if you've been studying the rays so far, which to be able to understand this workshop, you need to have this basic understanding, these are the hardline rays. Well, one and five are anyway. So minds on this ray can be very volatile and powerful. They can be conflicted or very analytical. And so when we get to that part of the workshop, we'll look at that a little bit more clearly. And the mind ray, it colors how we think, how we plan and analyze, how we build thought forms and communicate our thoughts. So these three bodies with their rays constitute the three bodies of expression that the soul works through. And everybody has these bodies and these rays developed in one form or another. In most people, the emotional body ray is the most highly developed. The mental ray in many races and countries is not quite as developed as the emotional ray, I understand, though that is rapidly changing as education has become more widespread around the world. Then the mind ray and the development of the mind and its ability to analyze and think, uncolored by the emotional ray, well, that has started to really develop and unfold. And so we have these three bodies, three rays that all of humanity are working on and expressing through in some way or another. As we start to become more self-centered, more integrated as a personality, stronger, as our mind starts to control and take over, and it gets stronger than the emotional body, then the personality ray starts to develop. And the personality ray is the result of the energies of the lower bodies merging so that one integrated entity or persona appears. And that esoterically is what we call a personality. It is an integrated, strong self, the composite self of the lower nature. And until the soul starts to spiritualize it and that it's very selfish and very powerful, the Tibetans said, the people of power. And we see very strong personalities in the world, like perhaps Rupert Murdoch. And if we think of some of the dictators, and if we think that perhaps there wasn't too much soul spiritualizing which had taken place then we might see a real true personality in action who is selfish and still more powerful and unresponsive in any great way to soul influence. And so you can see that there is a successive development of ourselves, of our psychology, and of our ray expression. Then as we advance a little bit further, then the soul ray starts to make an impact. It doesn't really try and come through or influence to any great extent until this integration has taken place, because up until then there isn't sufficient mental development and will to really benefit from the urge to change and to become harmless and selfless, compassionate and loving, unconditionally loving, which is what the soul is asking of us. There isn't sufficient intelligence and will to make those changes in our character, because as we all know, all of us who have been trying to affect those changes, it's not easy to do. It's very difficult to make changes within the lower nature, especially in those very early days. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. So we're looking at these five rays which we are covering today. And you will note that I have selected just one or two rays for each, and we're going to look now at the physical etheric ray, selecting rays 3 or 7 as the options. Now, the advice that the Tibetan gave regarding this work and regarding trying to identify our own rays is that there were specific rays that were allocated for each body. However, if you are a disciple at the discipleship level and you are rapidly integrating your fields and your rays, then you can select prior to coming into incarnation and having a body really on any ray. But when I examined the rays of the Tibetan's disciples, he gave their rays, there were very, very few that stepped outside of the normal rays that we're going to be looking at today. So to decide whether you might have a ray on any body which is outside of what I'm going to be suggesting to you, you really need to be sure in your mind what a disciple is and whether you fit that criteria. And so in the courses we try and teach that, and if you have access to the Bailey teachings, you will see he's given definitions all over the place. But it really is an advanced person who's found his or her path of study, one path usually is staying on that, and as a result of that and a regular meditation and the practice of spiritual disciplines, the disciple is teaching and helping others to find their way onto the path, to find their inner self, their soul, to work with that and to move towards enlightenment. So the disciples have really found their way, they're walking the talk, they're seriously working steadily day after day, year after year in their chosen vocation, heart vocation. Aspirants usually are still chopping and changing around. So that might help you decide that. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. And so we're looking at rays 3 or 7 for the physical etheric ray, and I've got a few little diagrams that just to help us in our selection. Or first I've got this. For those who don't know, I can't do the slides myself on my computer because it's just too slow. The upload speed, it freezes, so I'm having to get somebody else to do that, so if you could just bear with us. So on the screen, and of course you will have access to this after the broadcast is finished, you can go online and BL will tell you where it is. You can go back and have a look at this graph, and I can also just email it out if you wanted it that way. But on the one hand we have a body type that's really muscular, stocky, large bone. On the other side, fine bones, smaller, delicate, and that in movement. The ray 3, unless there is a higher 7 graceful ray somewhere, I've noted that they really do plod around. They have no concern for how they present themselves very often. I mean, they're neat and tidy in that, but whereas ray 7s are often preening and take a lot of care with their appearance and how people perceive them, ray 3s don't usually give a fig about that. Their hands, when you look at a ray 3 hand, it's usually the hand of a very useful utilitarian hand, strong, useful hand. The hand of a ray 7 person is usually more graceful and danced. Now, I'm hypothesizing a ray 7 physical, so you can examine me as I'm talking. And I'm trying to get my hands dancing. I think they usually do anyway. And but also because I'm trying to express a lot of energy through this this contraction we're working through to you students, I'm usually a little bit more expressive, I think, with my hands than I usually am when I'm face to face. And when ray sevens, also ray sevens are more finely boned, so I'm quite small. I'm only 5'2" in the old way of measuring, and until my latter years I was always very, very slim, put a little bit of weight on now. But so my hands dance and that, so I have those, and my face is quite finely boned as well, and you will find that in ray seven types. Usually the Ray 3 face is stronger, it conveys strength, and so there is a difference there. The way each type lives, well, Ray 7 likes lovely, beautiful, serene homes. They like regular rituals when they eat and they sleep. They like to get up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, have lunch at the same time. And they like things to look beautiful and like a harmonious rhythm, an ordered rhythm in their home, whereas Ray 3 can just live in a mess. Don't necessarily like that, but they can. It does not bother them. Whereas with Ray 7 types, they can get very bothered with clutter. I find myself, if there's a clutter on my desk, it disturbs me to the point that I can't think and concentrate on what I'm doing, and I have to go and tidy up my desk so it's not distracting me all the time. So an external little thing, but these are just ways to distinguish what type of bodies we might have. And the Ray 3 body is not especially sensitive to pain, whereas Ray 7s are. Now, I'm married to a man who has got a Ray 3 body, and he's everything that we're describing on the left there, and I'm everything that we describe on the right here. So we have a little bit of trouble sometimes over the state of the kitchen, if he's been in there, or his clothes dropping on the floor and things like that. And he has a little bit of problem with me at sometimes in my effort to tidy up my throw out. Well, I've got a lot of Ray 1 in me also, so I'm a thrower outer. If you leave things hanging around our throughout, so we've had to negotiate those little things, and we get on really well now in our living arrangements. The next slide, thanks. So that's just to start to get an idea, and when I look at some of the pictures that I've selected, well, you will see here I've chosen, I'm a tennis fan, so I'm always watching tennis, and on the left I've selected Rafael Nadal, and when you watch him play, if you watch him, he grunts, so he serves and it's a real grunt, and he's really strong, and his game is a power game. And the same with Serena Williams. When she hits that ball, does she really hit, and relies a lot on when she is under stress, when she's losing, she really tries to beat her opponent into submission. So does Rafael. On the other hand, I've selected Roger Federer, as we all know, so graceful, so beautiful to watch on the court, like a male ballerina, the way he hits his shots and the grace. And Daniela Hantuchova also is a wonderfully graceful person. For a while, people thought that she had anorexia, she had got so thin, and I've thought that the body types that most likely would suffer from anorexia would be Ray 7 physical body types. I've done some research on it, so it would not have surprised me, but anyway, she's still playing and she's looking healthy again, and so there you can get a real there are these examples to help you select. So I'd like you to think just for yourself right at this moment, and perhaps you could give your hand up. We've got a lot to cover today, so I don't want to spend too long on it. Maybe we won't do this, we'll do it with the emotional body. But I want you to think about which category you think your physical body could be in, depending upon how it looks, and depending upon the quality, ray qualities that I gave previously. So that's the, and of course the physical body is so important, I've often thought I would like to have a Ray 3 physical because it you can make it work as hard as you would like it to work, and it will just keep going and going for you. Whereas the Ray 7 type, I really push it. I've got a strong will and I push it, but I have to keep feeding it and giving it coffee and encouraging it to keep working because it can't work as long as I would like it to work. So those are the compromises we have to make, and we have to be sensible about looking after our physical body, because after all, if we don't look after it, it gets sick and dies on us. We have to wait until another opportunity to come in onto the physical plane and do our work. And philosophically, the vital, very, very vital thing that will our vital need for being in physical incarnation, my understanding is that we cannot achieve enlightenment outside of incarnation. It's only when we're here in a physical body that we have to demonstrate and prove that we are loving, compassionate human beings, and we have to do that in a physical body. So all of us, when we're back in our soul consciousness, as we are after our physical body has died, because it's a physical brain that prevents us from remembering our higher self, we really affirm, I would think, as souls back on that level, that we will work really hard in our physical body when we get down here and do our meditations and do our study and endeavor to be kind and be compassionate. But once we get back in here into our personality field, we forget all that. But so reminding ourselves of it from time to time and how vital it is that we progress steadily while we're in here in our physical body and work hard, not being fanatical about it or obsessive about it, which leads to mental ill health, but steadily progressing forward and trying to do something every day in our spiritual disciplines will really help. And anyway, a healthy psychology means a healthy body. Healthy psychology means a healthier, happier life and life outlook. We're not in pain, emotional pain so much. So there are many benefits to trying to spiritualize our nature and become loving and compassionate human beings. Next slide. Thanks, Astrid. So that's the physical body, and now we're going on to the emotional body, Rays 2 or 6. Next slide. Thanks, Astrid. And so very different emotional rays, and I believe that most people in the world have a 6-ray astral body. I certainly have, and when you perhaps there, it might come through at some time, so just watch for those qualities that we're going to be covering in the 6-ray. I don't often meet people with 2-ray fields, though I know that there are many people who claim to have it while they're being fiery and getting aggressive with people and that, demonstrating a 6-ray emotional body but claiming to be a 2-ray emotional. And sometimes I've pointed it out, especially if we're in a class, I might point out the traits of the 6-ray field. Sometimes I just, so you have to let people do their own insightful analysis and find their own energies. But the 2-ray emotional field is very sensitive, a lot calmer, and the primary distinctive differences between the two is the 2 field is cool, where the 6 field is hot, it boils. The 2 field is more complacent and calmer, whereas the 6 field is fiery, reactive and retaliating. And those are the primary differences. If we didn't look at anything else on the list, those would be the 2 outstanding, or the outstanding characteristics that distinguish the two types. So the sixth feel can be ardent and passionate, jealous. If you've ever been really jealous in your life, you've got a six-ray emotional body. Even if you've purified it, and you don't think that you're jealous anymore, then you still have that six-ray field. However, I will qualify that later because the six can move towards the two. So all this burning passion, desire, hot desire, jealousy, envy, grasping, trying to take what you want, yearning for what you want, craving for things out there that you need to make yourself feel better. This is a Ray 6 feel that is not centered and balanced yet. On the other hand, we have the quieter two emotional field, very manipulative. It doesn't have the power and the drive and the anger to go out there and get what it wants, so it magnetizes in people to bring it what it wants. And one of the great negatives, I believe, of the second ray emotional body is they play the doormat or the victim in order to encourage people to feel guilty for how they've hurt them so that they'll bring them and do things and do what they want. So they're very manipulative and they are very good at getting people to jump around and do what they want for them by playing the victim. Whereas the Ray 6 feel, which most people are on, are usually the perpetrators, and they are the ones that go out and hurt and beat up and do all these sorts of things because their desire just absolutely overwhelms and clouds their judgment and their mind. That is the real negative of the powerful emotional field. It gets so intense and can overwhelm consciousness with its desire and passion so fully that the mind is clouded and it gets confused and it starts to get hooked in to the belief and the intensity and the desire of the astral nature. And so there is a certain type of mind that Blavatsky and Bailey talk about, karma manas. Karma manas mind is a mind that is so colored with the emotional body that it really is just the vehicle of the emotional body. And one of the important things that we all have to do on the path is to detach the mind from the power of the emotions and bring it under the influence of the soul rather than under the influence of the personality. So the mind is just so important. We'll look at that shortly. Next slides, thanks, Astrid. And so I've got a little further slides on just how these two feels sort of play out when somebody rejects us. Rejection is something that we're all really, really trying to avoid. And so a second ray emotional response, when it rules the nature, and up on top left I've got, you just imagine someone saying to you, sorry, I'm in love with someone else. This is something, somebody you absolutely adore. Well, the second ray response might be a little bit more like, oh, I'm so hurt. I'll do anything if only you'll come back. No lying down. What can I do to bring you back to me? Tears and crying and a lot of hurt. But a lot of it, the emotional body on two folds in on itself when it's being disappointed and hurt and doesn't retaliate like the sixth field. Next slide. And so the sixth field is the Ray 6 field is just so different. And so if somebody rejects somebody with a Ray 6 astral body, well, the reaction is more like this, red rather than blue. And sorry, I'm in love with someone else. What did you say? How dare you? I'm so angry. Who is she? And you can feel this inner demon coming up. I've got the six astral body. I've been through this in my own life, and I know the feeling of these demons coming up. How angry? How dare you? Who is she? Who is he? Jealous, jealous, jealous. And the little god of jealousy jumps around with you. Then maybe if you don't come back, I'll stalk you. I'll kill you, myself or you. So there's all this emotional blackmail going on, just like the two can blackmail, but they play the victim, whereas the Ray 6 field is a threatening field, and but still ends up, I'll do anything, don't leave me, don't leave me. So These raw emotional demonstrations usually play out when we're in our teens and maybe into our early 20s. So if you really looked at how you reacted emotionally before the mind and maturity kicks in, as it does in the 20s and the late 20s, when we get to 28 and we have our first Saturn return, that's when maturity can really come in. And I really don't think anyone's mature until they've had their first Saturn return. But if you think back on those early days of how you expressed your emotions, you will get a clearer sense about which type of body you might have, emotional body you might have. Now, when you're on the path, because most of us have a Ray 6 emotional body, it's easier to see than the Ray 2. I have met genuinely some people who do have a 2, and they just, and the reason how I recognize them is though, and I used to work with one lady quite closely year after year, and it doesn't matter what we're going through, what dramas were taking place in the class, she never reacted in the way that I would sometimes. I'd get angry and jump up and down about something, but she would always maintain some sort of calmness there, but not be reactive. She could get terribly hurt and fold in with herself while I was doing the jumping around in my emotional fire, enough for two of us. But it was very good to have her with me, and had a really good look at her emotional body, and I really appreciated it. If you've got two Ray 6 emotional bodies working together, you can get, you feed off each other, spark each other, so you can really have a big fire and conflagration going. And that's of course what happens in mobs, because and you can see it in mob behavior, because Ray 6 rules mobs, unthinking emotional mobs, and so and some terrible things can be done when the mob mentality kicks in, and common sense and decency and a civilized attitude goes out the window. We see it all the time in the world. And so I'd like to think, so would anyone like to comment about what they think their emotional body might be? If so, could you put your hand up, please? Oh, well, no, before you do that, we'll go to the next slide, because I've got some examples of people who I think might have their emotional body on these two particular rays. And so I've got the Dalai Lama. Now, he's got a high, I think he's definitely a Ray 2 soul as well, so he's got that going, but he always seems to be so calm and that and gentle, and I think he has a Ray 2 emotional body as well. On the other hand, Martin Luther King, he was definitely fiery and passionate for a greater cause. And when he spoke, you could feel him trying to impress, preaching to the audience, and his fire and his passion, Ray 6 idealism, would really go out. When the Dalai Lama talks, it's really different. He's trying to impress people in that manner in a much different way. And so there we have two really advanced figures, Dalai Lama perhaps a little bit more advanced, or a lot more maybe, than Martin Luther King, but still two advanced souls, and the way they try to preach and oppress what their thoughts are and ignite something in those people listening was very, very different. And then we have also Jane Fonda. Oh, her, when you watch her, she's very, very passionate in the way they speak. Something very serious about Ray 6 when they're trying to impress you with their idealism about their guru. They're fiery, and sometimes they lack a sense of humor, because it's really a filtered approach. The way they think about their guru teacher, it's not a lot of humor. It's blinkered and one-pointed. And so if ever you've been a person who can really be defensive for your guru, your teaching, your books that you study, well, that points to Ray 6, whereas the Ray 2 type are more sort of inclusive, but I think they must have a hard time with most people, 6-ray emotional bodies in the world. So certainly that's just a little bit. Now, would anyone like to have a hypothesize what they think their emotional body might be, and if so, why? What do you see in yourself that would cause you to think that? I've shared my 6-ray with you, and I've been trying to jump it around for you and enthuse you with its idealism. Is there anybody else like me out there who's listening?
Okay, we've got at least one hand, but we have a question from Heather. She
Which
says,
is
it accurate to say Ray 2 blames the self while Ray 6 blames others?
I think that's quite an astute observation, Heather, and I would think that that could be generally an accurate sort of thing, because the field is, the Ray 2 field does fold inward and the Ray 6 out. However, I would qualify what I've just said, because at the end of it all, I think that we all blame ourselves. It doesn't matter what ray we are on. Psychologically, the inner child blames itself when it is being hurt or not being loved or that. And self-blame attaches to the inner child. Then we form a negative core belief about life. This is going into the psychology of it. And so the wounded child within, which most of us have until we're enlightened, really does think that there is something wrong about it if it's not receiving love and that. So that's a general thing. But on top of that, I would think that that would be a reasonable statement to make, that the Ray 6s are more outwardly blaming of other people out there, whereas Ray 2 people might look more clinically perhaps at themselves. Yes, I think that's excellent thought. Okay, Marion, would you like to tell me what you think your emotional body is?
Yes, I'm unmuted, yes?
Yes.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Right, I think I'm 6, Ray 6.
And what do you see in yourself that makes you think that?
Well, I'm nearly 75 now, so I've had a good chance of changing. But I used to be very good at blaming others and blaming myself. But I've studied Theosophical Bailey for many years now and worked a lot with myself. And it's years ago now that I blamed somebody. Of course, I blame myself in between. but I don't have the drama that I used to have, not at all.
Mm. That's one of the wonderful gifts, I think, of when we're getting into that wisdom. We're in that wisdom part of our life, and that. So I share that with you as well, Marianne. And it's really is a relief, because the thing that Ray 6 types are really looking for, and I think you would agree with me, Marianne, is inner peace. The life is so often in turmoil, and there's so much drama that takes place, that inner peace really is something that Ray 6 emotional body people really look for. Was there anything else you would like to share, Marianne?
No, that's fine. Thank you. But I quite agree with what you're saying.
Oh, thank you for that, and thank you for sharing. Is there anyone else who'd like to own up to what their emotional body might be? All right, we'll move quickly on then.
Andrea has her hand up. Go ahead, Andrea.
Slipped in at the last minute, Andrea. Is it Andrea or Andrea?
It's Andrea. I answer to all of them.
okay. All right, what emotional type are you, Andrea?
Definitely 6. Most definitely. It's everything in on the list. Of course, not as possessive as I used to, and not as. I mean, I still have that quick matchstick, fiery temper, but it doesn't creep out as often anymore.
Yes, and you would be finding that quite a relief, I would think.
Yes.
Mm.
Certainly. Oh,
yes. All right. Well, thank you for sharing with that. So, yes, it is a the wonderful thing. Before we go off the emotional body, the wonderful thing I have to say about Raise 6 is that fiery aspiration really drives us along the path. And, in fact, in Raja Yoga, Patanjali talked about fiery aspiration as being such a virtue because it provides the fuel that drives us towards our goal. And so we look at the negative of all these rays, but of course the wonderful positive of ray 6 is that fiery aspiration. Once we have it burning within us for the higher path, for the masters, and for the higher way, then we really do have an unending fuel that's going to help project us quickly, more rapidly, on the path towards enlightenment. So that is its great blessing for us. Next slide, thank you, Astrid. And so we go quickly on to having covered that body ray, which is so important to look at it, because for most of us, getting that body under control, that ray balanced out, is the most important work for us, psychological work for us in this life. So looking at the mind rays, and we have rays 1, 4, 5, excepting for disciples who can have any ray, and the mind-body, of course, is how we think, process information, and communicate. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. And so we're now going to be looking at these three type minds, and we'll look very quickly at some of the characteristics for each of these minds. So starting up the top row, we have the occult mind is the first ray. We have the intuitive mind, fourth ray, fifth ray minds are scientific. So here we have immediately three very different type of minds. The intuitive mind is the softer mind, the creative, artistic mind. I have a fourth ray mind, and so you might see some of these characteristics in me, especially the oscillating, head oscillating, so I'm for putting my head to right and left. And this is often when ray 4 minds are thinking or agonizing over something, the head goes like this. So next time you're watching TV and types talking, see if you can see some of these physical demonstrations of the rays in the mind. And so if you see anyone who wags their hair backwards and forwards, side to side, and they're humming and haring, and they use exaggeration or drama to convey what they're thinking. If they can be colourful with their ideas and their speech, often use humour, might laugh, then you can be pretty sure that you're looking at a ray 4 mind. And in my own observations, I have thought that there are more ray 4 minds in our spiritual groups than the other ray types. So ray 5 seems to be quite strong there as well, but definitely more 4 types, because it is the intuitive mind, and so the intuitive mind really is less separative than the fifth ray mind is more separative. And it, for a long time, the ray 5 mind, the scientific mind that wants to deal with the facts, it's not interested in accepting perhaps what these flaky spiritual people write about, new agey people. It's quite dismissive of that. Deal with the facts and deal with reality. Unless you can prove it scientifically, it does not exist. Now, this is how the Ray 5 mind, before it reaches spiritualization, how it thinks. Very accurate, very logical, ordered. So just think of some scientific people that, and the way they talk, very monotone, and not much head movement, because they, all the movement's in their mind, and they're trying to get their facts out very clearly and make sure that they're very accurate. Because what the Ray 5 mind cannot stand is being found to be inaccurate, to have told a lie, to be proven wrong. They try and control their environment by dealing with the facts and by proving other people wrong because they have the facts. Whereas Ray 4 people, when they start having a Ray 5 person proving them wrong, they're more inclined to go into a big drama and start to argue and fight and cry and totally lose their mental clarity because the emotional body just sort of really comes up. Whereas if you're dealing with a Ray 1 mind, you have a firm, stubborn mind. It's very fast, moves in a straight line. Hard-edged, deals with a larger picture, it's very organizing and it's very aggressive. The Ray 4 mind can be aggressive as well, but not as dangerously aggressive as the Ray 1 mind, which is so powerful and has that power, the will and power energy coming behind it. And so if you have a dispute coming up with them, let's say we'll put the Ray 4 mind, we'll put ourselves into a drama, and the Ray 5 mind is starting to prove everybody else wrong because it has the facts, and the Ray 4 is going all over the place crying, and that the Ray 1 mind will get really aggressive and start coming forward at, let's say it's seeing the Ray 5 mind as its enemy or opponent that it has to defeat. The Ray 1 mind has to win at all costs. So it will come for it. And the Ray 1 action in the mind is the head moves forward and the finger moves forward. And so Ray 5's point, the head goes forward and Ray 1's, excuse me, they point and they go forward like this. As the Ray 4s are crying all over the place and the Ray 5s are sitting very still trying to get the facts out, the Ray 1 mind will use the body to come at the enemy, whoever it might be, aggressively in order to destroy that person so that it can win. And if it can't win through logic, it will try and destroy that person by just the sheer weight of the personality bringing that to bear. So Ray 1 minds aren't as common as the others. As I said, I have a Ray 4 mind. Well, I live with my husband has a Ray 1 mind. And it's very interesting when we start circling each other and when we're debating something or arguing or that, I have to pull my Ray 1 personality out, and which I have, and you'll see later. And he comes in with his Ray 1 mind, goes straight to the point, often assumes things, goes straight to the point and assumes he is right because he believes this or he thinks this, he is right. Well, I might try and come at it from another direction, and if we had a Ray 5 person in the argument, would prove us both wrong because that person had all the facts and would trot them out to shut us up. So I've given a little synopsis of these types of minds. Next slide, and we'll have a look at maybe three different personalities in the world. Hope you are know them all, so it will give you some sort of picture about these different minds in action. So Hillary Clinton, absolutely perfect, and that picture I've got up here, you can really see the Ray 1. Not only has she got one finger up poking, she's got two up poking. And so, and when she is trying to make a point, you will see her make that forward movement with her head and her shoulders as well, and then the finger comes up. And there's a quote there. I've got Mrs. Clinton's stubborn insistence that she understands economic hardship. Stubborn insistence. There's the Ray 1 mind working. It was a Republican who made that comment, by the way. And then we have Billy Connolly. Have you seen him? Oh, the most amazing stand-up comic. I've laughed with him over the years. Really wonderful wish he's got, always laughing, and these ideas just pour out of him, and when you watch him, his head goes side to side. So there he is, a Ray 4 mind, and has used his Ray 4 mind to make a career out of it, because the Ray 4 is the entertainer generally, is a ray of color, of many artists are found on it, and when the Tibetan was talking about souls on these rays, he used ones like Da Vinci and those great artists of the world to really describe these type of rays, but of course we're talking about the mind ray here. So you do will find most entertainers on the ray four mind, or with a ray four mind, and they could have ray four personalities as well. And I really think that it's the worst career for a four person to get into, because they struggle and agonize. It's so important to them that people love them and approve of them. And of course, if you're into entertaining and you're a stand-up comic, you're going to get booed and hissed at so many times. So then we have one of my heroes, I believe a disciple in the world, Tim Berners-Lee, who gave the world the World Wide Web, the scientific mind, a nerd. We watch his videos. As if you'd like to have a look at any of these types, go onto YouTube and have a look at the videos. Have a look at Tim Berners-Lee being interviewed. He's such a nerd, and yet such a beautiful, advanced soul, a loving type. And he's just so beautiful. Now, I've got such a beautiful heart, but a fifth ray mind, which enabled him to really be able to use that in some way to just help the world. And so there we have some examples of these three types of a mind. So is there anybody who would like to make a comment about that, or think that they their minds might be one or other of these rays? If so, raise your hands now. Okay, Marianne, good on you again. What mind, Marianne?
Well, I have used to think ray five, but studying your charts, I'm not sure, because the humor and the tendency to exaggerate, I know those. I use those.
Yes. Then I would, yes, examine that side of yourself. Now, here's the thing. If we've got, for example, you can have a five mind with a four personality, and so you will get that humor coming from the personality. So, but if in... Say the best way to try and pick what your mind is if you are giving a speech or a talk, because you have to be quite analytical in trying to present it. And if in it, the process of giving that talk, you use a little bit of humor, or you do a little bit of drama or color to try and convey your message, you probably have a ray four mind. But if you have that tendency to laugh and colour, and that the ray four is there somewhere, and quite likely it could be the mental ray that it is. So just a little bit more analysis, Marianne, and observing of yourself in the days and weeks ahead should help you become clear about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So if there's no one, we're sort of running out. I've got one eye on the time. We better move on. We've got down to, that's not bad. We're down to the personality. Let's go on to the next slide. Thanks. And we'll look at the personality ray. Now, I believe that the personality ray myself is the hardest to find, because in most of us it's still forming. It only, excuse me. It only really, the next slide as well, thanks Astrid, it only really appears at a very, very advanced stage of the path, usually when people, just before we're on the path, and then it becomes very strong. The Tibetan does say, now this is something to think about when we're trying to put dictators, where do they stand on the path? Are they on the path, beginning of the path? He said, if any world figure has a world influence, they are near or on the path. So we're thinking about Stalin and Hitler and all these people. They were quite likely on the path. I do think that Hitler was on the path, taking the left-hand turning onto the dark side, but do think that he was on the path. And so we might think of some of these other world figures. You have to be a personality to be able to drive yourself to the front of a political party. you have to be a dictator in a way to be able to do it ruthlessly, but to that inner integration points to a very advanced stage, and then it's just a little bit of spiritualization coming from the soul that can really help you take that step more firmly on the path. So our personality can be on any ray, any of the seven rays. I found that it's probably easier to identify it by dividing it into either hardline will, hardline mind, or the softline feeling emotional line. The personality is, when it is formed, it is the way, the method that we use, the personality ray method, to get what we want in the world. It's the way that we present ourselves to the world. When we're trying to be holistic and talking, it's the way a person is when they're integrated and strong. You're seeing the whole person demonstrated there. In a person in whom it is developed, it's usually easier to see when they are being assertive, and then you will really see the different type of method coming out. So I was talking about the mind before. If we translate those qualities, those traits forward to the personality, then the hardline personality 1 or 7 will try and assertively dominate other people. The hard mind intelligence line raised 3 or 5 will try and dominate by proving that they are right and they have got all the facts. So they're always using facts and trying to get things right. Where 1 and 7 will try and dominate by just the power of who they are, especially if they're 1, try and really dominate by their personal power, whereas 7s will try and dominate in a more civilized way, in an ordered way, but they still have power and they will push very hard to impose their rules over other people. That's what a Ray 7 personality is always trying to do, impose its rules on someone. It does it through reason and by being civilized, by trying to prove that perhaps you don't are wrong, whereas Ray 1 will just try and do it by blasting you out of the way and trying to destroy you in the meantime. So we have these two distinct lines working, Ray 1 and 7, working with power, trying to impose their rules or their presence on you. Ray 3 or 5 trying to impose their selves on you through having all the facts and proving you are wrong and they are right. So this. And then we have the soft line personalities in the middle. They are not weak by any shape or measure. If you get a Ray 6 personality, you get an idealistic a person without any humor who can be very, very dangerous. Ray 6 personalities can be very, very dangerous in the world until the soul starts softening that up, because they're very rigid and they're driven by fire and they think they're right. All personalities without the soul softening and that think that they are right and are using their ray energy to impose their will on whoever is standing in their way from getting what they want. So I'm being hard line in this. I'm a Ray 1 personality after all, trying to impose my thoughts on you. This is the way that they work. So Ray 6s can be quite dangerous, and if you're not with me, you're against me, and they'll go through you and try and destroy you and bring the mob with them to try and destroy you. So you get the preachers of hate who know they don't have the power to impose their will on other people without a mob behind them, without their congregation following behind them. So we have these preachers of hate at the moment who are preaching their narrow version of God, of truth, and bringing their mob along to kill you. They're just six-ray mob trying to destroy other people's rights to exist. Ray 4, though, is the war ray, the drama ray, because it oscillates backwards and forward, is the ray of war, ray of conflict. So they really are good at going to war as well, but they are also have within them innately the peacemakers. So there'll be a lot of people in this listening to me who have ray 4 minds or ray 4 personalities, who though they know they can create conflict and create a drama because they've got ray 4, also are the peacemakers and will put their hand out and be willing and yearning to make peace with those they've been at war with, because that is the nature of the fourth ray. Yes, I will fight with you, but I'm only doing this because I really want to be at harmony with you. And anyway, I hate this conflict within me. It destroys me. I won't be happy until I am at peace and I am in harmony. And so this is the way Ray 4 personalities are always fighting and always putting their hand out to make friends. So some of you might recognize that within you. Ray 2s, to get what they want, all they have to is to be magnetic, to really radiate who they are, who they are, and we have some really good examples of this in, like, Bill Clinton is the one, and we've got those later. We could just flip over to the next slide, and I think then quickly to the next one, please, Astrid. We have, in the next slide, I just have listed some of the characteristics of these three personality type groupings, and there we have them up now. And just flip over again, so you can go back and really look at those when you have the time. I've covered most of those, but I've got the three personality groupings up here, which is what I really want to work with. So let's stay with that center group. Now think of George Clooney. Think of that way he just smiles. Think of Bill Clinton. When they want to get their way, they don't have to be assertive or angry, though I've seen Bill be a bit angry about things. All they have to do is radiate their charm. Now, I've seen Ray personalities all the time in my environment and the groups I've been in, spiritual groups. I have a Ray 1 personality, and so often Ray 1 personalities are always creating trouble around them, and people, sometimes if that Ray 1's strong, people avoid them. They can just feel the danger weeping off them. So often in Ray 1 personality in a group will go and sit with their back to the wall or something to self-protect themselves and to see where the enemies come from. So they're usually they're isolationists. They like, quite enjoy it actually, their own company. I love my own company, peaceful. But Ray 2s don't. I used to envy them because everyone would cluster around them and like bees around a honeypot, and they just radiate this charm, and I used to be really jealous, envious when I was younger, and at these wonderful people, all they had to do was smile, I thought, and they got everything that they wanted. And so that's the Ray type 2 personality. And if there is any of you listening at this time that have got that Ray 2 personality, well, lucky you. And also, it's, of course, it's got its own handicaps, because the Ray 2 doesn't recognize that if it's going to get its way and be popular and dominate people, it has to be very careful about not hurting people, not offending people. And so often it might not get into a conflict situation or confront somebody to sort out the truth, because it doesn't want to lose its popularity. So that is a weakness. Whereas Ray 4 types conflicted, Judy Garland was one there, and Sally Field, of course, very much a Ray 4 type. And if you watch the You Like Me video on YouTube, you really see a Ray 4 personality in full flight, Ray 4 mind, and that beautiful, beautiful lady Ray 4 personality, very colourful. Then a Ray 6 type, we're going down further, Ian Paisley, when he gives his rhetoric, if you have a look at him on YouTube in his old fiery days when he was trying to incite people into war with the Southern Irish people. He had this fiery, really intensity, beautiful demonstration of that fiery intensity. Same thing to be seen in a higher grade consciousness, and Martin Luther King, he has it as well. I think he had a Ray 6 personality as well as a Ray 6 emotional body myself, but beautifully purified and holistic and inclusive as well by the soul. And so those are really good examples. Then, so going out, so those are the soft line rays, and I've given you some examples there of personality types. On the right-hand side, Ray 3, I've got Steve Jobs there. If you have a look at his videos on YouTube, very, very much a Ray 3 person, and very, very assertive. And then Bernie Madoff, we have there as well. I'm just going to... My husband's just started up the Mustang outside. I'm just hoping he's going. Yes, he is. I'm sorry about that, folks. I'm just going to go out and ask him to move. He's gone. All right, it's going to be Ray 1 in my personality. Go and order him to take his Mustang. It's a red Mustang. Take it off the property. Stop making noise. So if I were Ray 3 personality, I would use guile and brilliance and be a bit of the con artist if I was didn't have the soul, because we have here the great manipulators, and I've got Bernie Madoff there, who was did the Ponzi scheme, the greatest Ponzi scheme, fraud scheme in the history of the world. Billions of dollars were lost by the people that he fraudulently conned. So there we have Bernie Madoff, and then the higher one, Steve Jobs. Then we have five personalities, and we have Tim Berners-Lee again, I think could have a Ray 5 personality. And also I've put Dr. Mengele there as well. And so we know Dr. Mengele was the Nazi doctor who used science to experiment on prisoners of war, did some very cruel experiments, and was clinical about it and the way he went about it. And that, so there we get the Ray 5 personality, very ambitious. He was Hitler's person, and was using his science to profit himself, to get ahead. Whereas I'm getting really distracted with my husband. The first Ray personality, we have Jim Jones as a lower type, Hillary Clinton, also one personality, and Ray 7 types, Barack Obama, who is very cooperative, group conscious, works with people, and he is a good example of a 7 personality. Next slide, thanks. We're going to have to move forward quickly on this.
I wanted you to know that we have a question from Heather. She asks, can Ray 6 personality be devotional and think their way is right without preaching or bringing a mop?
Yes. By the way, can you hear, is that Mustang coming through very loudly?
I can't hear it.
You can't?
No.
Oh, good. Oh, well, I won't bother about it then. All right, then. Well, thanks. So I'll sit quieten down here then. So I don't know if you could. My Ray 1 personality was getting quite intense, actually, and bothered by that, but I'll just calm it. Yes, Heather, well, it can. It is very devotional, and it does. It's blinkered. The Ray 6 personality thinks it's right. Every personality, if it's uncolored or influenced by the soul, thinks it's right along the method and line of its ray. So yes, it devotionally believes it's God. The way they demonstrate it usually is, my God is right, my way is right, because I speak for God. This is what a lady said, six ray lady said to me once, I am right because I speak for God, beating her hands on the table and standing over me, and with her eyes blazing. It was more Ray 6 than Ray 1. And that, so yes, certainly can. So any other questions about the personality ray before we move on to the soul ray?
I don't see any questions or hands.
We'll move on quickly, thank you, before the Mustang comes back. So and just looking now at some of the qualities of the soul ray. And we've got, once again, these three groups when we get to the next slide. And we have first the those souls who are on the spiritual and power. Gee, that's taking a long time to turn over, Astrid, that one. There it is now. So we have now souls who are on the spiritual power. And so now when we're talking about our souls, we're talking about our altruistic, wise and loving part of our nature. And so we're looking at how that wisdom and that beauty is coloured by the ray that it might be on. Now a lot of us will have second ray soul simply because my understanding is there are more souls on the second ray or the second ray line than on others' rays. But that is just a general statement and it's an assumption. So we'll look at that ray first. So the second ray soul, the inspiration and heart, and we're looking here at a demonstration of heart feeling because the seat of the soul is in the heart. And so if we want to get in touch with our soul and with our soul ray, we try and feel and turn our minds so we can feel and think of what the heart is telling us. And so and one of the methods I use, by the way, if I'm in a quandary and I'm trying to think about which way I should go, I think about one path and I try and really tune into my heart, actually touch my heart. What is my heart telling me? How do I feel in my heart? Think of the other path and do the same thing. And usually I will get an answer because there is some warmth or some encouragement or I feel something more so usually the answer will come through that little technique which I use to try and tune into my soul and the guidance of my soul. So looking at these, the second ray soul wants to love all, to attain spiritual omniscience. If you're on the wisdom line, there'd be a lot of ray two souls and they're different. They're two different types. The first ray, the first type of second ray soul wants to love all. It's on the love line. The wisdom side of the love wisdom ray is more interested in mental omniscience, mental inclusiveness, wants to understand divinity by studying the teachings, by really reaching through the teaching and trying to connect with the divine. I have a two wisdom soul, I believe, and it definitely is the way that I try and connect with divinity. One trait of the Ray 2 wisdom soul is they love simplicity. Along with the first ray, they also love simplicity. And so they're quite different to the two love souls. So hope if any contemplating the two soul, you might that might help you. Ray 4 soul, well, we were told that there weren't many of those in existence because the Ray 4 is just coming back into incarnation now, and perhaps there are some Ray 4 souls that have come into it, but there are less Ray 4 souls than on any other Ray type. Ray 6 types, driven by their ideals, and they want to help other people connect with their beloved, with their ideal as well. The difference between the 6 soul and the 6 personality is Ray 6 souls are inclusive. All souls are inclusive. They use their method in a very inclusive way, invite others if they're on the preaching line to onto their path, but they do it in an inclusive way. So Ray 6s can be very fiery and devotional, but they don't discriminate or eliminate or cut the access of to their God, like six ray personalities might. And so twos are healers, fours more counselors, six are workers in religion very often. Now, here's another little point about your soul. Our heart vocation, our soul vocation comes from our heart. Fulfillment, aren't we looking for fulfillment? And fulfillment, in my opinion, is a heart quality. And so don't we all want to be employed in a vocation that fulfills us, that makes our hearts sing, that that we can pour that love out on to other people? So when you find your heart vocation, you've found your soul vocation, and it will be fulfilling for you. Some of you may have found that, some of you may not. I believe that I found my heart vocation. I'm contemplating a 2B soul with Ray 3 offshoot astrology, via astrology. So I'm a teacher via astrology. Absolutely adore astrology. It's the science that I love most of all. And so I'm 2 sub 3. I hope that doesn't confuse you. If we look now at the Ray 1 type, so I believe that Barack Obama, for example, has a Ray 1 soul. We were told so did Winston Churchill, and also Roosevelt, FDR, also had a Ray 1 soul, Tibetan call him that great Ray 1 soul. And so when people are in their heart vocations, and if they're in politics, they've probably got a Ray 1 soul. If you're drawn to politics or the law or something, it's quite likely you have a Ray 1 soul. And so it's good to look at people like FDR, Winston Churchill, Barack Obama, I believe a soul, probably an aspirant or a disciple. No, definitely a disciple, perhaps further along. It's good to look at them to see how the Ray 1 soul plays out. So they use their power for the good of all. Ray 7s also are leaders and are powerful, but they're more dignified in their appearance. Barrett's is very dignified. I think it's a Ray 7 personality. And I think that probably Clinton also, Bill Clinton, has a Ray 1 soul with a Ray 2 personality. So he is really a great politician, but he gets his way with a Ray 2 by smiling, whereas Hillary, I think, is a Ray 1 personality, and she has got another soul ray. It could be 7, actually, but that remains to be seen. I haven't really analyzed her. And let's go now, so that we've looked at the soft line rays, the healers, teachers, counselors, carers. They care about humanity and they try and nurture his soul and tend to his soul, guide him to the path, heal his body and that. So these attend to the soul of man, whereas the way Ray 1 and 7 line try and use their power to destroy all that hurts the soul of man. They are the protectors and leaders that go out there that are trying to lead humanity back to their spiritual leaders. But so they put themselves on the front line, do the fighting, and that put them head on the chopping block to try and protect their humanity. That's their role. Now let's go and have a look at the 3-5 line, because they use their mind to help along humanity. And so they use their intelligence to think God's plan into existence. So Ray 3 mind, you get those great intelligences like Einstein, Edison, and all these, Hawking, all these great minds, whether they're a three soul or not, but they are using it, quite possibly they could be, because they are using their brilliant intelligence to help the soul of man along. So just like the Ray 1 types will fight for their fellow man, put themselves at the front, these great souls on the mind rays are using their intelligence to try and alleviate the pain and suffering of humanity. The third ray is actually the ray of matter. So very often they're working in business. They're working out there in the field of finance. And I think that Christine Lagarde could be a third ray soul disciple. She is the head of the International Monetary Fund, and I've listened to what she said. She has the most brilliant mind, and that really a joy to listen to her talk and that, and to just appreciate how brilliant she is, in my opinion. And so, also, and I'm wondering if Tim Berners-Lee, now I said he had a Ray 5 somewhere, it could possibly be that he is a Ray 5 soul. Definitely, he is the magician of the technological age. He was bothered, for those who don't know his story, when in the early days of computers, the computers were all different computers, and they couldn't talk to different types of computers. They needed a platform to be able to talk to, so he got irritated by that. So he went and invented this platform and gave it to the world for nothing. That's why I'm in such great admiration for him. If he'd put a little bit of copyright on that, he would be the most the richest man by far in the world today, but he didn't. He gave it away freely. Now, is that a disciple or not? So just quite wonderful, these people with these great minds who just give of their intelligence, and their job is to think the mind of God, to use the mind of God to benefit humanity in very practical, down-to-earth, physical ways. And so scientists are always using their science to alleviate the suffering of disease, to make our lives easier, to take us away from the drudgery of washing clothes and things, and all these things that they develop in that to make life easier, so that we have more time for our spiritual practices and our creativity. Those are the big three fields of, or streams and lines of souls. So I'm not going to say any more of that. I've been talk, and I hope I haven't confused you. So just to finish this off, though, would anyone like to comment and think that they may recognize themselves as soul or anybody? In fact, I would really like it if, you know, more people could perhaps share what they believe, a particular body. I've got some. If you have become clear about one of your bodies and the ray it's on, if you could share it, if you haven't already done so, if you could share that. If you think you have a sense of what your soul ray may be, even better. So let's have some hands up.
Okay. Okay. Hold it just a second. You have a question here from Andrea. When you mentioned a sub-ray 3 with a soul ray 2, what do you mean by that?
Yes, Andrea, I'm sorry, that's a whole... well, I'll just answer it like that. We've got seven rays here, but each ray has the other seven rays in them. And so even if I'm a ray 2 soul, I will also, because the other rays are in me, I could take a 10 predisposition. I could go a little bit the ray 3 way, the ray 1 way. It sounds complicated, and it might be when you're first starting to study these rays, but when you really get deeply into the study of your own psychology and you're trying to understand yourself, you will see these other little subtle nuances of these sub-rays coming up. That is what it means in essence, and so I won't say any more about it because it can become complex and I don't want to confuse everyone, but thank you for the question, Andrea. All right, we'll have Tracy. Would you like to make a comment about a ray that you've identified, or any question?
Yes, hi Leonie.
Hi Tracy.
I think I'm a Ray 2 soul. I've always wanted to be a healer, and I studied psychology, not esoteric but mainstream psychology when I was younger, and I've now just finished a diploma in reflexology, moving into working with people, healing on that line. I thought it was interesting when you said the main ray 2 and then a sub ray 3, and it kind of made me think that my sub ray could be a 3 as a reflexologist.
Sorry, my husband just walked in the room. They can see you, darling.
Yeah.
You think about
tell him to wave.
You go out. I'm sorry, Tracy, but in half an hour,
that's all right.
it sounds. These are the things that happen. It sounds like it, Tracy. And how do you feel in your heart that when you're working with people, when you're applying your healing art?
I absolutely love doing reflexology on people's feet. I just feel that I'm really in a peaceful, loving space. I just feel that everything is right, you know.
Yeah. And that's the heart feeling that I was talking about. When we have found our vocation, it is so fulfilling for our heart at that time that it gives a clue that this is our heart vocation. Of course, down track it might change. Usually when we're in a personality vocation, it's satisfying for the ego, not for the soul, and there is a difference. So yes, I think from what you have said, I would actually say that you have to try and decide whether you're a 2A on the love line or the wisdom line. Which line do you think it might be?
Well, I struggle with that because I have a love of everything, all animals, everything in the world, but I also I've got books and books and books, and I love studying the esoteric studies. And the reflexology, so I get a bit confused as to which I might be.
Oh, well, here's the wonderful thing about the study of the rays. Look, it took me 10 years to sort out my ray chart exactly, I think. So in the years ahead, we've got this wonderful opportunity to study ourselves and become insightful about ourselves. The great gift that we give to ourselves when we do that is we become very insightful about other people as well. So it really does help our world service work. So thank you for that, Tracy, and sharing. It really does sound like a two soul there. All right, Heather, what about you? What do you think your soul might be? Heather?
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I thought that I was a two-ray soul, but now after this, I think that I'm a six-ray soul, and that is because I do really have a strong sense of idealism, devotion. I do think that my way is right, and often, and have, you know, sort of see others as following what I think is a wrong way. However, I am not preachy at all. I'm absolutely opposed to being preachy, and I also think that there are, you know, a multitude of ways to reach God or to reach, you know, what I see as the right way. So, I would say soul.
Well, that definitely sounds like, that definitely is a higher expression of Ray 6, because at the lower level it is not inclusive at all. So that is quite, it's good evidence that perhaps you might have a Ray 6 soul, and I would just keep observing that. It sounds like you really could be on track there. Here's the thing, when you get further along the path, eventually all Ray 6 souls move on to Ray 2. So you might look at yourself in the years ahead to see and look at compare the qualities between the two different. Can you go back to that last slide, please? And just compare that, and it will help you determine whether, you know, which ray that it might be. So good. Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
So, any final query? We're right. I'd like to finish it in 2 minutes' time, just to give my Ray 7 physical etheric. It likes to be ordered. Would anyone else like to just make a final comment? Also, I really enjoyed the series on the rays, and microphones off, and everyone can just say goodbye to each other. I'd like to hear your voice, even if it's going to be a racket when we do so. But it's been very nice sharing with you, and thank you for coming today and attending today, and for sharing these ideas. And if you have any thoughts later that you'd like to share, or questions, you can always email me, and I'll answer you that way.
Okay, I just wanted to also add, we have a couple of newer students here who may not be familiar with our procedures. Where I posted the announcement to the student union, when we get ready to post the copy of the webinar and a copy of Leonie's slides, it will be announced there on that student union in the same thread where we announced this particular webinar. It's going to be a little while, though. Usually Brett can get them posted in about a week, but he's already working at the conference right now, so that's going to have his priority for the next 2.5 weeks. So it's going to be a little while before this one is posted. But it will be out there. It will be at the Makara website along with a copy of Leonie's slides.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So thank you for joining. And the next one next month is going to be on the etheric body. And so that'll be a wonderful workshop to attend, to look at. So hope that you can make it then. So bye now, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.